I'm Femi Oke. Thanks for watching the stream. The killings of Bruno Pereira, who is an Indigenous communities expert from Brazil, and British journalist Dom Phillips, is a very stark reminder of the risks of being an outspoken environmental activist in Brazil. But why is defending the Amazon in Brazil, why is that so dangerous right now? That is our conversation. You're invited to be part of it by joining us on YouTube and jumping into the comments section. Be part of today's show.
The Brazilian government has no desire to fight these violations, especially environmental crimes. We have a feeling it acts with impunity, and we want justice for Dom, for Bruno, for Indigenous leaders, for environmentalists who have been murdered precisely for confronting these issues.
Justice would be continuing Bruno's work, Bruno's life, Dom Phillips's life. They were in the forest. They were close to our territories for the defense and protection of our lives. It is with great sadness that we are here today, because part of us has died.
We felt the pain of loss for these two warriors who defended our rights. And today, who else will lose their lives?
The voices of Indigenous people who are mourning the passing of Bruno Pereira and Dom Phillips. We are talking about defending the Amazon and the dangers involved in doing that with Andrew and Anna and Carla. Thank you, all three of you, for being with us. Andrew, please say hello to our audience around the world. Tell them who you are and what you do.
Hi, everybody. I'm Andrew Fishman. I'm a journalist with The Intercept based in Brazil.
Good to have you. Hello, Anna. Welcome. Please introduce yourself to stream viewers.
Hi, everyone. Good afternoon. I am Anna Alfinito, legal advisor for Amazon Watch, also based in Brazil.
And welcome, Carla. Please say hello to our audience around the world.
Hello. I'm Carla Mendes. I'm working for Monga Bay in Brazil as a contributing editor.
I am going to start, audience and guests, on June the 5th. And that was when Bruno Pereira and Dom Phillips were last seen. They were in the Javari Valley, that was Indigenous territory. And after they failed to reach their next destination, local Indigenous leaders sent out a search party. It wasn't until 10 days later, so we're going fast-forwarding here to June the 15th, when their bodies were found and police found their bodies. That is what we know as an international community, Andrew. What's happened with the investigation? How much do we know about what happened to Dom and Bruno in those 10 days when police were searching for them?
Well, unfortunately, this investigation started off very slowly and in a very troubling way. We were very disheartened to see that the police did not send out helicopters and airplanes immediately as they should have. And it was only really after a really concerted international effort to force a response that a more concerted effort took place. After they didn't show up on Sunday morning, their colleagues at Univaja, the local Indigenous group that they were working with, immediately began a search up and down the river, and they were going out all day, every day. And they were actually basically leading the search efforts for the police and were responsible for a lot of the biggest discoveries that happened over that time.
Anna, should we read something into this delay and the delay in the search party going out? Because the Indigenous people that Dom and Bruno were with, they knew that they'd gone missing pretty early on. What does the delay tell us?
So I think it's important to say that there was a delay in the searching for these two missing men. But there has been a delay into the investigations of an increase and escalation in violence in this Indigenous territory. So we know that for at least the past 2 years, there have been attacks against the surveillance stations of the National Indigenous Foundation. We know that Bruno had received death threats as well as his colleagues from Evu and Univaja. So all of this has been significantly delayed. And when the federal government specifically decided not to send in forces to effectively search for the bodies, to investigate, and Indigenous people took the front line in doing this, it really seemed like they were evading responsibility for someone. You know, our president, Bolsonaro, made a series of comments saying that it was a responsibility of these men, that they were going on an irresponsible adventure, as if journalism were an irresponsible adventure, as if monitoring indigenous land rights was an irresponsible adventure. So it really seemed like they were trying to downplay, to minimize what had happened, and to say, you know, this is a dangerous region. They shouldn't be there, even though indigenous lands are federal government lands in Brazil. So if these are dangerous regions, and it's a problem of the federal government, of the union, that they are a dangerous region.
And they were only there because of the failure of the government to protect the indigenous reserves. If the government had been doing its job and hadn't slashed all the resources to do so, then Bruno would not have to be working with the local indigenous groups, and Don would not have been doing his reporting on them.
Carla, I'm just thinking about Brazil being one of the most dangerous places to be an environmental activist. Why is that?
Well, the situation in Brazil is complicated for many years. We cannot say that it has started now. But what we saw is that since President Jair Bolsonaro took office almost 4 years ago, the situation got worse and worse. Why? Because he's really clear, affirming that he is against the indigenous land rights. He has a speech that clearly emboldens wrongdoing in indigenous lands and other traditional communities. So the delay we saw in the search for Don and Bruno is a clear picture of how this government treats the environment, environmental issues as a whole, and the defense and the security in the area. So it's a really sad situation. And following this hate speech that Bolsonaro stands against indigenous people.
Carla, can you give us... Carla, because you're in Brazil, you're obviously, you'll hear your president speaking all of the time, but can you give us an example of what you would say would be hate speech against indigenous people who are Brazilians, of course? Carla, can you give us an example?
Sure, no, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. President Jair Bolsonaro, since during his campaign, he clearly said that he wouldn't demarcate any centimeter of indigenous reserves anymore. And it happened indeed. We didn't have, just for you to understand, because here in Brazil, when an area is claimed by the indigenous people, so they file a request. And then the FUNAI, with the indigenous, Brazil indigenous affair agencies, there is a long process until that land is recognized as an indigenous territory. And what we saw is that, but this, once an area is demarcated, it doesn't mean that these indigenous people, it belongs to them and they can sell and do anything. No, it still belongs to the federal government, but they have the right to be there. And the government, as Ana said, should be protecting these areas. But what we saw is that in a government that is clearly against traditional communities, they've been doing a lot of things that made the situation worse. For example, we saw budget cuts to environmental agencies. We saw political influence in several environmental agencies. For example, Bruno is a clear example. He was the head of the FUNAI's isolated indigenous groups. And he was doing an amazing job. You know what the president did? He fired him from this position. And it happened in many other environmental agents. So we clearly see that there is basically a war, you know, against nature here.
Yes, Ana.
So maybe to complement and to build on what Carla is saying, I think it's important to mention that last week there was the release of an important report by Inesc and by INA here in Brazil. Which is an organization of public servants of the FUNAI, the Indigenous Foundation. And in this report, they systematically draw out how, under Bolsonaro, the National Indigenous Foundation, FUNAI, has been transformed into an anti-indigenous machine. So everything that FUNAI does today, instead of accomplishing its constitutional mandate, which is to protect the rights of indigenous peoples, this public bureaucracy, this public institution has been perverted. It has been radically transformed into an anti-indigenous machine, which recognizes private estates within indigenous lands. This is unconstitutional, which refuses to protect indigenous groups who are not on formally demarcated indigenous lands. So that excludes from its protection 1/3 of the indigenous population in Brazil. And so this perversion of an institution is very much.
I hear politics at work here. Andrew, I know you want to jump in here. I'm just going to slide in one more thought here, and this is from Durema, who we spoke to a little bit earlier. She's from Amnesty International in Brazil. She also makes a connection between the risks of being an environmental activist and politics in Brazil. Here is Jurema. And then, Andrew, please come off the back of that and then take us on a little bit further in our discussion.
The murders of Dom Phillips and Bruno Pereira is one of the most terrible examples of the political decision from Bolsonaro's administrations to dismantle or cancel public policies and mechanisms to protect the Amazonian rainforest, to protect indigenous peoples who live there, to protect activism. In fact, Brazil is one of the most dangerous countries in the world to activism and to environmentalism. We at the Amnesty International, we demand to the federal government and all the institutions to do their responsibility to end criminalization of activism, to protect activism, to protect indigenous peoples, and to protect Amazonian rainforest.
Andrew, thoughts?
Yeah. This and just to add on to what everyone has just said, this isn't a policy dispute. This isn't a question of, you know, what's the most effective way of creating development or protecting natural resources. This is an ideological dispute. Bolsonaro has made explicitly genocidal statements prior to becoming president and afterwards. He made a statement many years ago saying that that the Brazilian cavalry, you know, back in the colonial days and in the early days of the Republic, were not very competent, and that the American cavalry in the United States were the competent ones because they decimated their indigenous population in the past. Mm. So now today, quote, they don't have to deal with this problem in their country. I mean, that's an explicitly genocidal statement. And so when Bolsonaro came into office, he implemented this vision. Together with the military, which has also had a very aggressive position, you know, during the many years of the Brazilian dictatorship, that they wanted to develop the Amazon, you know, push the indigenous peoples aside. Those were years of great suffering and lots of devastation. And under the Bolsonaro administration, you've seen many indigenous defenders, land defenders, human rights defenders, being murdered and being threatened. Last year, 27 human rights defenders were murdered in Brazil in one year.
That's extraordinary.
And actually in the very region, one of Bruno Pereira's closest colleagues, Maxiel Pereira dos Santos, who was also a FUNAI agent, an agent for the Indigenous Protection Agency, he was murdered in cold blood in front of his family in 2019, just one town over, up the river. And to this day, they've not found the murderer.
If I may jump in, just to add to what Andrew said, is that we clearly see this genocide and ethnocide speech during the Bolsonaro administration. And actually, he has been, several lawsuits have been filed against him in international courts because of it. And it's clearly a continuation of what happened during the colonization period and even during the military dictatorship, when you saw that there was this political of development, in brackets, to bring development to the country where many indigenous populations were displaced from their ancestral land and removed to somewhere
else. Carla, can I ask you something then? Because I spotted a news story on May the 24th. Have a look here on my laptop. Brazil's Bolsonaro hikes environmental fines to protect the Amazon rainforest. And then it says that the president signed a decree to step up fines for environmental crimes, according to official government gazette. It's a move to allow more aggressive protection of the Amazon rainforest. This is not necessarily in line with what you are telling me. Is this something that the government is now doing because of the complaints from environmental activists? Does this have any teeth? Is this helpful?
Well, I follow this coverage. We covered it as well. And this move was seen as the first movement, positive movement from Bolsonaro in terms of environmental issues.
Yeah.
But there are some improvement there. But from my perspective, it's a clear move focused on the upcoming election. Just for you guys know, in October, we'll have presidential elections in Brazil. Bolsonaro is not leading the polls, and there is all this huge pressure, especially internationally, against his government about the rise in deforestation, the Amazon, and the rise in violence. So to me, it's a clear move, more a political move than a clear move to help the environment. This decree was signed before the disappearance of Bruno and Dawn. You know, and you see how the government act or not act during this crime. So I think we can compare them.
You have worked with Bruno, and I just want to ask you for a moment what he was like as a person, because I have a little clip from a documentary that you worked on together, and he talks about how do you protect the Amazon. And I'm going to play that, but I would just love you to take a moment and just talk about the men that we lost. So first of all, let's have a little pause for Bruno. What was he like, Carla?
I met Bruno for the first time at the start of 2019. At the time, I was doing a documentary film about the Guardians of the Forest. They are a group of Guajajara indigenous who live in the Brazil's northeast Maranhão state. And it's important to raise this because the situation we see in the Javari Valley, where it's a remote area and the indigenous go to the front line to protect their land.
What's Bruno like? What was he like?
He was a very nice person, intelligent and engaged with the indigenous cause.
Let's have a listen to some of his thoughts, because they're so spot on for what we're talking about today, which is defending the Amazon. Have a little listen and have a look.
Municípios que foram financiados, construídos em cima da madeira ilegal, dentro da terra indígena, com envolvimento, às vezes, até no ilícito com indígenas que foram cooptados nesse processo, em conflitos até internamente entre eles mesmos, para poder sobreviver ali dentro. Melhor que se procure a justiça, que se procure que os órgãos da União façam seu papel. Sendo que a resposta não tem sido à altura, né? A terra tem sido devastada. A gente tem dados de imagem de satélite, a gente tem dados de quanto de madeira sai daquelas terras. E é absurdo não ter uma resposta à altura.
So, President, that was from Carla's documentary that came out in 2019 called Guarding the Forest. Earlier on today, we spoke to Andrea Carvalho. We were wondering, is there anything that can be done to protect people who speak out? And I'm going to use some of your legal expertise here to ask what can be done. But first of all, here's Andrea.
Indigenous people are under attack in the Amazon. Encroachment of their lands by criminal groups engaging in mining, logging, and other illegal activities has increased dramatically since President Bolsonaro took office in 2019. His administration has weakened the enforcement of environmental law, and that has empowered criminal groups that are the main drivers of deforestation and that use threats and violence against forest defenders. Those responsible for attacks are rarely brought to justice. The Brazilian government needs to combat those mafias. It should protect indigenous lands and strengthen the environmental law enforcement agencies. It also needs to end impunity for acts of violence against Amazon defenders by improving investigations and prosecutions.
Anna, is the answer the law to protect lives and also protect the communities of the indigenous people who live in the Amazon?
So I think just for us to review some numbers, now, so we know that in 2021 we had the worst indicators of deforestation in the past 15 years. We know that conflicts over land and over territory, according to the Pastoral Land Commission report, in 2021, again, was the worst in the past 35 years. So over 100 people were murdered in land-related disputes and conflicts. So we are in a very drastic, very serious situation. Human rights and land defenders in Brazil, they live in a circumstance of permanent violence and intimidation. This sometimes reaches explicit levels. Sometimes it's threats. Sometimes it's institutional violence and persecution. So it has many faces. Well, I believe that in addition to everything that Andrea just said in this clip, to protect the bodies and the lives of these defenders is to protect their territories. There will be no safe living, no buen vivir, no well-being in the Amazon, in traditional territories, in indigenous lands, in land settlements, land reform settlements in Brazil, if these territories are not protected by federal institutions, by federal government, as the Constitution mandates. Of course, once they are threatened, once aggressions do occur, programs must be in place to protect them, specialized programs for the protection of human rights defenders. In thesis, in theory, we have these programs at the federal level, we have them at the state level in some places, but they are not not operating as they should. Right. So this level of threat and of aggression should not be reached. And when it is reached, we need to have programs in place that support these people. And these are not in place.
All right, let me just go to YouTube. There's a conversation happening on YouTube. So I just want to share it with you guests. So Camila Rossi says, the federal government has the obligation to protect the Amazon. But what we have seen with this tragedy is that borders of this region are handed over to narco traffickers. And then one more thought here. Before he took office, Bolsonaro promised indigenous people that they would have one more square centimetre of land, and he has proudly kept that promise. Andrew, I want to go back, because I stopped Carla to talk about Bruno, and I want to just pause for just a moment to talk about Dom, because he was working on a book that is so relevant, and we haven't even taken a moment to talk about why environmental activists are needed in the Amazon in the first place. Andrew.
Yeah, Dom was writing a book called How to Save the Amazon. I mean, he was trying to dig into these issues and try to find real solutions that go beyond, just, oh, we need to make sure that indigenous people are safe and that the forest is preserved. Because in reality, like, one of the things that he was always going on about in private, and this is reflected in his work as well, is that you need sustainable solutions. You need alternatives. You know, right now, the Brazilian government for many, many years has been incentivizing, cattle and soy and mining. And these things are extremely destructive to the Amazon rainforest. And as a result, they've been encroaching on protected land and a land that belongs to indigenous communities, and they should be, preserved and protected by the federal government. So it's a very complex situation. Mm-hmm. But one thing that can be done, aside from obviously ending impunity, increasing enforcement, would be to, one, look at the people that are benefiting from this, because it's not just poor people living in the Amazon who are doing this independently. They're part of larger supply chains that are benefiting foreign investors, corporations, and many wealthy people that have never stepped foot in the Amazon. And we need to be following those supply chains and holding those people accountable and ensuring that they're not continuing to invest in these unsustainable and bloody practices.
Andrew, thank you so much. I'm just going to end on my laptop because there's some information that I want to share with your audience so that you are aware. Andrew Happ back here has a GoFundMe. Have a look here on my laptop. Here we go. And this is to help Dom and Bruno's families. So look out for that. And then if you need more information, of course, you can look at Andrew Fishman. He's on Twitter and you can keep up to date with the investigation, what is happening. And then you can follow Anna's work at Amazon Watch, at Amazon Watch, and Carla at Carla Mendes. Thank you, Andrew, Dom, excuse me, and Anna and Carla for being part of today's show. I'm going to leave you with Bruno Pereira singing in the Amazon forest.
Tabarini is a widani. Fun!
Ana Maria!
Ana Maria!